Have you ever considered that your expectations might be more than just thoughts? That they could actually be creating your reality? In The Expectation Effect, David Robson reveals the extraordinary science behind how our beliefs shape everything from our physical health to our mental capabilities. This isn't just another self-help book, it's a scientifically grounded exploration that has captivated millions worldwide, including celebrities like Oprah Winfrey, who featured it in her influential book club. The book has been translated into over 20 languages and has fundamentally changed how leading organizations approach performance and well-being. What if the limitations you perceive in your body, mind, and abilities are largely self-imposed? What if changing your expectations could literally transform your life? Robson's work doesn't just suggest this possibility, it proves it through rigorous research that will forever change how you understand the relationship between your mind and your reality. Your brain isn't a passive receiver of information, it's actively constructing your reality based on expectations. This became dramatically evident during the 2018 Gatwick Airport drone incident, where 170 reported drone sightings shut down operations for 30 hours and disrupted 140,000 passengers. The remarkable twist? No evidence of any drone was ever found. Most witnesses likely experienced false perceptions driven by fear and expectation. Modern neuroscience now understands the brain as fundamentally predictive rather than reactive. German physicist Hermann von Helmholtz first proposed this through his concept of unconscious inference, noting how the brain interprets ambiguous visual information using past experiences to make its best guess. Today's research confirms this revolutionary idea. Neural connections carrying predictions from higher brain regions vastly outnumber those bringing signals from our sensory organs. This explains why we can recognize objects in poor quality images when given context, or why the famous rabbit-bird illusion appears differently depending on whether it's Easter or October. Our expectations don't just influence perception, they create our experienced reality. When shown blurry images, our brains fill in the gaps based on what we expect to see. In one striking experiment, participants could identify a cow in seemingly incomprehensible blotches only after being shown a clear version first. These predictions extend beyond vision to all senses. They help us understand speech through static or prevent us from being startled when our own limbs touch. Sometimes these simulations go awry, creating vivid hallucinations, like participants seeing non-existent faces in random dots or hearing the song White Christmas in white noise when primed to expect it. The implications are profound. From phantom drones at Gatwick to polar explorers mistaking dog excrement for distant people, from religious visions and flames to sports controversies where players and referees genuinely see different realities, our expectations literally construct the world we experience. As neuroscientist Anil Seth puts it, we don't just passively perceive the world, we actively generate it. Thomas Jefferson once called the placebo effect a pious fraud, recognizing how belief alone could heal patients better than potentially harmful medications. Though long dismissed by modern medicine as mere emotional comfort, science now confirms that positive expectations produce real relief for conditions including asthma, Parkinson's, heart disease, and chronic pain. The renewed scientific interest began with anesthesiologist Henry Beecher during World War II. Treating soldiers with horrific wounds, he found 32% reported no pain at all, while another 44% experienced only slight discomfort. When morphine ran short, Beecher's nurse would inject saline while reassuring patients they were receiving painkillers, achieving about 90% of the actual drug's effectiveness. Research now shows placebo responses account for roughly 50% of pain relief from actual drugs, with the brain producing its own opioids when expecting relief. Similarly, placebo treatments for Parkinson's disease can improve symptoms by 20 to 30% by increasing the brain's natural dopamine production. Placebos can also tune the immune system, reducing allergic reactions and providing about 30% of the benefits of asthma medications. The power of placebos depends on multiple factors. Larger pills work better than smaller ones, capsules outperform tablets, expensive treatments outperform cheap ones, and branded medications produce stronger effects than generic equivalents. Injections typically work better than oral medications, and surgery better still. Most remarkably, pharmaceutical companies have noticed placebo responses growing stronger over time, especially in the United States. Pain medication trials in the 1990s showed drugs outperforming placebos by 27%. But by 2013, this advantage dropped to just 9%, not because drugs became less effective, but because placebos became more powerful. Even more surprising, open-label placebos, pills clearly labeled as containing no active ingredients, have shown remarkable effectiveness. In a groundbreaking 2016 study with chronic back pain patients, participants taking openly disclosed placebo pills experienced a 30% reduction in pain and significant improvement in daily activities. Similar success has been documented for migraines, IBS, depression, ADHD, and menopausal hot flushes. Beyond pills, expectation effects can be harnessed through conversation alone. Heart bypass patients who received expectation-enhancing psychological sessions were discharged nearly 5 days earlier than standard care patients, with better recovery outcomes. These approaches don't involve false hope. They simply frame factual information positively, demonstrating that when it comes to the mind-body connection, knowledge truly is power. While positive expectations can heal, negative ones can harm, sometimes fatally. The nocebo effect, placebo's evil twin, has been observed since the earliest days of modern medicine. In the 1880s, surgeon John Nolan Mackenzie demonstrated this by showing an artificial rose to a woman with severe hay fever, triggering real allergic symptoms despite the absence of actual pollen. In clinical trials, roughly half of placebo recipients report adverse events, with 5% discontinuing treatment due to these effects. Warnings about potential side effects can dramatically increase their occurrence. Men warned about sexual dysfunction from finasteride experienced it 3 times more frequently than those not warned. The nocebo response is particularly potent with pain. Verbal warnings like "this may hurt" actually intensify discomfort by triggering neurochemical changes that amplify pain signals while suppressing natural pain-relieving opioids. Even common conditions like premenstrual syndrome, motion sickness, and recovery from concussion can be significantly worsened by negative expectations. One study found that patients' initial beliefs about concussion recovery predicted post-concussion syndrome with 80% accuracy, better than symptom severity at time of injury. Can death by expectation truly occur? Recent medical cases suggest extreme nocebo responses can indeed threaten life. Consider Mr. A, who attempted suicide with antidepressant pills, only to collapse with dangerously low blood pressure despite having taken dummy pills. Similarly, a German woman undergoing a sham acupuncture procedure experienced cardiovascular collapse after being warned of this rare risk, despite receiving only adhesive tape on her skin. Beyond acute cases, negative expectations may gradually increase mortality risk. The Framingham Heart Study found women who believed they were more likely to develop heart disease were 3.7 times more likely to experience fatal cardiac arrest over 20 years, even before any symptoms appeared and controlling for other risk factors. Fortunately, we can combat nocebo effects through reappraisal, finding positive interpretations of negative sensations. Stanford University researchers demonstrated this with severely peanut allergic children undergoing immunotherapy. By teaching patients to view mild reactions as signs the treatment was working rather than dangerous warnings, they significantly reduced anxiety and produced measurable biological benefits, including higher levels of IgG4 antibodies that inhibit allergic reactions. Catastrophizing, the tendency to ruminate on pain with thoughts like "it will never get better," creates a self-perpetuating nocebo response that amplifies suffering. Adopting a pain relief mindset can break this cycle by questioning catastrophic assumptions. Studies show impressive benefits. Over half of chronic pain patients report at least 30% symptom reduction using these mental techniques. Mass psychogenic illness, physical symptoms with purely psychological origins that spread through groups, can affect anyone, not just the suggestible. In 2006, Portugal experienced mysterious outbreaks of dizziness, breathing difficulties, and skin rashes among 300 teenagers. The cause? A popular teen soap opera featuring characters with identical symptoms from a fictional virus. The social transmission of nocebo effects begins with the brain's mirror system. Discovered accidentally in the early 1990s, researchers found that a macaque monkey's brain activated in nearly identical patterns, whether it was grasping objects itself or merely watching researchers perform the same actions. These mirror neurons allow us to immediately understand others' actions without conscious thought. This mirroring extends beyond actions. When we see someone expressing a feeling, our brain activates as if we were experiencing the emotions ourselves. This internal mirroring leads to subtle physical mimicry. Our facial muscles twitch when seeing others smile, our speech patterns shift to match conversation partners, and even our pupils dilate or contract to mirror those we observe. Three factors make mass psychogenic illness more likely. Personal stress increases susceptibility, social connections to victims raise risk, and environmental factors creating feasible threats heighten expectations of illness. These factors explain why mass psychogenic illnesses are especially common during political upheaval or warfare, as seen in the 1983 Palestinian school outbreak, where broken latrine odors were interpreted as poisonous gas, eventually affecting nearly 1,000 students across the region. Media amplification can transform localized outbreaks into widespread health scares. Technopanics exemplify this pattern. From 1889's telephone-induced aural overpressure to modern electrosensitivity affecting millions despite laboratory evidence showing electromagnetic fields from household devices cause no harm. Vaccination reactions follow similar patterns, with studies showing placebo recipients report flu symptoms at rates equal to vaccine recipients. The social contagion of symptoms has disrupted vaccination programs worldwide, including Colombia's 2014 HPV vaccination crisis, where 600 cases followed viral videos of affected schoolgirls. Statins demonstrate the media's impact clearly. Countries with more negative coverage show 5 to 6 times higher rates of muscle pain side effects than regions with less coverage. Fortunately, research demonstrates that educating people about nocebo effects can effectively immunize them against such psychogenic illnesses. To protect ourselves from health scares, we should evaluate media reports critically, look for controlled studies, consider absolute risk levels, and recognize that unfamiliarity doesn't equal danger. The power of mindset in athletic performance is illustrated dramatically by cyclist Richard Virenque's exceptional time trial after receiving what he believed was a performance-enhancing drug, but was actually just glucose solution. This placebo effect demonstrates how psychological factors can determine physical limits, a principle echoed by champions from Paavo Nurmi to Eliud Kipchoge. Recent research has upended the traditional biochemical theory of exhaustion. Scientists have failed to find evidence that athletes perform at maximum capacity during exhaustion, with heart output and oxygen consumption suggesting they could continue longer. Studies show only 50 to 60% of muscle fibers operate during intense exercise, contradicting the idea that biochemical changes alone cause fatigue. These findings have led scientists like Noakes to embrace a psychobiological theory of exhaustion that acknowledges the brain's central role in determining our physical limits. The brain uses past experience, physiological sensations, mood, and task predictions to judge how much exercise we can perform, conservatively limiting our output to prevent injury. However, these predictions can be manipulated. Cyclists performed 18% better when clocks ran slow, and athletes exceeded personal bests when competing against artificially enhanced avatars of their previous performances. The prefrontal cortex appears central to this process, using knowledge, experience, and bodily signals to predict our physiological budget and control energy output accordingly. This mind-over-muscle understanding is particularly relevant for casual exercisers whose negative expectations limit their fitness. When feeling exhausted, we can reinterpret sensations like breathlessness or aching muscles as desirable signs that exercise is working rather than proof of poor fitness. Many everyday tasks provide significant exercise benefits without resembling formal workouts. Jeremy Morris discovered this studying London bus conductors who stair climbing halved their heart disease risk compared to sedentary drivers. Most remarkably, our mindset about these activities affect their health benefits. When hotel cleaners were informed about the exercise value of their work, they lost weight and lowered blood pressure within a month without changing their routines. Visualization offers another powerful tool for physical enhancement. Michael Phelps's extraordinary Olympic success, 28 medals, 23 gold, came partly from his remarkable visualization abilities. Scientific studies confirm visualization's effects. Participants practicing 15 minutes of mental training daily for 6 weeks increased forearm strength by 11% without lifting actual weights. This works because visualization refines the brain's predictions about physical capabilities, improving muscle recruitment and coordination. Our physical capabilities are often limited more by brain than body. Hysterical strength, when ordinary people perform superhuman feats in emergencies, demonstrates this dramatically. Lauren Cornacki lifting a BMW to save her father and other cases of people lifting vehicles aren't just adrenaline rushes. They represent the brain overriding its usual cautious control. Our expectations about food dramatically influence hunger, digestion, and metabolism. Consider the surprising comparison between two meal plans, the Super Slimmer, featuring healthy foods like avocado toast and granola bars, and the Bon Viveur, with seemingly indulgent foods like croissants and fish pie. Contrary to perception, the indulgent-sounding plan contains fewer calories. The case of Henry Malazan, HM, whose hippocampus damage left him in a permanent present tense, reveals how memory profoundly impacts appetite. Studies showed he would eat multiple full meals in succession, never feeling properly sated because he couldn't remember what he'd eaten. Even mild forgetfulness in healthy people affects eating behavior. Simply recalling a recent meal can reduce consumption by 45%. Our expectations dramatically influence satiety. Participants who thought they consumed larger portions felt fuller regardless of actual intake, while those distracted during meals or consuming healthy labeled foods experienced less satisfaction. These expectation effects extend beyond subjective feelings to physiological responses, with beliefs about food altering ghrelin levels, digestion speed, and metabolism. Alia Crum's groundbreaking study demonstrated how mere labeling affects physiological responses. Identical 380-calorie milkshakes produce dramatically different hormonal reactions when presented as either indulgence, 620 calories, or Sensi shake, 140 calories. The indulgent shake triggered appropriate ghrelin drops indicating satiation, while the sensible shake barely changed ghrelin levels. Food presentation dramatically affects nutrient absorption. Participants absorbed 70% more iron from traditional meals versus homogenized versions of identical ingredients. Similarly, placebo surgery for obesity produces 70% of real surgery's benefits through expectation alone. Our beliefs about foods create self-fulfilling prophecies. People consistently misestimate calories in healthy versus indulgent foods, with those making larger estimation errors having higher BMIs. To leverage expectation effects for healthier eating, avoid liquid calories, which provide minimal expected satiety. Counterintuitively, maximizing pleasure in meals is crucial during weight loss. Bland, forgettable diet foods trigger feelings of deprivation that increase hunger hormones. Instead, embrace flavorful options with fiery spices and umami-rich ingredients. These small caloric additions are offset by greater satiety and reduced snacking. The French approach to eating offers valuable lessons. Unlike Americans, who often believe healthy foods are inherently unsatisfying, French people typically disagree that things that are good for me rarely taste good. They associate treats with delicious rather than fattening and consider food enjoyment one of life's greatest pleasures. This celebratory attitude manifests in smaller portion sizes and more time spent eating, creating detailed memories that extend satiety. The result? France's average BMI, 25.3, is lower than Germany, 26.3, Australia, 27.3, and USA, 28.8. Since the late 19th century, anxiety has been treated as a dangerous vice requiring elimination. By the 1900s, William James observed a religion of healthy-mindedness and gospel of relaxation taking hold, with people avoiding all negative thoughts. This anti-stress crusade intensified in the 1980s when research suggested modern stressors trigger dangerous physiological reactions evolved for predator encounters. But recent research suggests this understanding of stress may be fundamentally flawed. Our beliefs about emotions might be creating a nocebo effect more damaging than the feelings themselves. Jeremy Jameson's research into stress reappraisal began with his observation that student athletes felt energized before games but anxious before exams. Same sensations, different interpretations. In a groundbreaking experiment, he gave GRE test takers a simple message: anxiety could actually help performance. This brief intervention improved scores on both practice and actual exams, with math scores jumping from 706 to 770. Follow-up studies revealed that reframing anxiety changes physiological responses too. While control subjects showed classic stress responses, racing heart with constricted blood vessels, those who reappraised anxiety maintained dilated vessels, similar to exercise, allowing better blood flow to the brain. Our obsession with pursuing happiness may actually be making us miserable. Iris Moss's research reveals that people who value happiness most highly and actively strive for it are paradoxically unhappier on every measure. Studies show people who accept their full emotional range and see meaning in unpleasant feelings report better psychological health, life satisfaction, and even physical well-being. Similarly, insomnia often stems from the same ruminative, catastrophizing thought patterns that amplify anxiety. Studies reveal a remarkable disconnect between actual sleep and perceived sleep problems. About 10% of people are complaining good sleepers who believe they're sleep-deprived despite getting adequate rest, while 16% are non-complaining bad sleepers who function well despite insufficient sleep. One meta-analysis concluded that worry about poor sleep is a stronger pathogen than poor sleep. Our beliefs about willpower are equally powerful. Barack Obama, like many high-powered individuals, famously wore the same style of suit daily to conserve mental energy for important decisions. This practice stems from research suggesting that willpower draws from a limited reservoir of mental resources that depletes throughout the day. However, this widely accepted theory may actually represent another powerful expectation effect. Dutch researchers discovered that simply being told an exercise might be energizing rather than fatiguing reduced depletion effects. Veronica Job developed a questionnaire measuring whether people hold limited or non-limited theories of willpower. In experiments, those with limited mindsets showed classic ego depletion effects, performing worse on concentration tasks after completing demanding tasks. However, those with non-limited views showed no fatigue effects whatsoever. These non-limited beliefs about willpower are more common in India than Western countries, possibly due to religious traditions like yoga that view concentration exercises as energizing rather than depleting. Simply learning about your vast mental reserves can immediately benefit focus and self-control. Participants who read about unlimited willpower showed increased concentration with greater workload. Patty Jones, an 80-something salsa dancer who gained international fame on talent shows across Europe and South America, exemplifies how our expectations powerfully influence aging. Her mindset, "I don't plead my age because I don't feel 80," demonstrates that beliefs about aging may be as important for long-term well-being as actual chronological age. Ellen Langer's groundbreaking 1979 experiment demonstrated how mindset affects aging by having elderly participants live in an environment meticulously recreated to resemble 1959. Those fully immersed in this time warp, speaking in present tense and avoiding discussion of post-1959 events, showed remarkable improvements in cognition, vision, joint flexibility, and even appearance compared to a control group who merely reminisced. Becca Levy's research provides compelling evidence that our mindset dramatically influences physical aging. Her analysis of the Ohio Longitudinal Study found people with positive attitudes toward aging lived an average of 7.5 years longer than those with negative perceptions, a difference more significant than many biological risk factors. Further studies showed that attitudes toward aging formed in young adulthood could predict cardiovascular disease risk decades later. Even more remarkably, positive expectations about aging appear to protect against dementia by reducing the accumulation of beta-amyloid plaques and tau protein tangles in the brain. Negative stereotypes about aging become self-fulfilling prophecies through multiple pathways. Psychologically, older people lose confidence in their mental abilities, unnecessarily relying on external aids rather than exercising their still capable memories. Behaviorally, expectations of physical decline discourage exercise and slow movement. Psychosomatically, these expectations create nocebo effects, amplifying physical discomfort and triggering harmful stress responses. People with negative age attitudes show rising cortisol levels, 40% increase from age 50 to 80, while those with positive views experience a 10% decrease. Extraordinary individuals like Hiromu Inada demonstrate our capacity for physical achievement in later life. Inada began training only after retirement in his 60s, yet completed multiple Hawaii Ironman events in his 80s, swimming 3.86 kilometers, cycling 180.25 kilometers, and running a full marathon. Similarly, Albert Stricker started running at 65 and completed an ultramarathon at 95, covering 53 kilometers in 12 hours with complete physical recovery within 5 days. With the global population of those 60 and older projected to grow from 901 million, 12.3% of population, in 2015 to 2.1 billion, 21.3% by 2050, understanding aging expectation effects is increasingly urgent. Remarkably, studies show that changing age expectations can have profound physical effects. In Levy's experiment, elderly participants exposed to subliminal positive age-related words showed significant improvements in mobility, gait, and posture that exceeded results from a 6-month exercise program. Sardinia's Nuoro province, with its centenarian population 3 times higher than the rest of Sardinia and 10 times that of the USA, offers insights beyond genetics, which account for only 7% of longevity differences. While diet and exercise play roles, the culture's profound respect for elders may be crucial. This contrasts sharply with industrialized nations where intergenerational households are declining and older people are often viewed as burdens. Early neuroscientists believed adult brains were fixed, ended, immutable, but modern research shows the brain constantly rewires itself, strengthening some connections, pruning others, and creating new networks in response to circumstances. This neuroplasticity enables remarkable adaptations, from sensory implant adjustments to learning new skills. Even personality traits, once considered immutable, can change throughout life. Carol Dweck's research shows people with a growth mindset progress faster than those with a fixed mindset. This mindset affects mental health treatments too. People with anxiety or depression benefit more from cognitive behavioral therapy when they believe in their capacity to change. Simply teaching people about brain plasticity improves physical and mental health outcomes. When facing challenging moments where reframing, pain, anxiety, or fatigue seems difficult, remember you don't need to ignore uncomfortable feelings. Instead, adjust your assumptions about their meaning. Self-distancing techniques developed by Ethan Cross help break negative rumination cycles by creating psychological distance. You might imagine looking at your situation from the future, observing yourself from outside, or, most effectively, advising a friend in the same situation. Knowledge of the prediction machine and our power to shape responses through reframing can create an unintended sense of guilt or self-blame when techniques don't work. Self-compassion, acknowledging external factors affecting your difficulties, and recognizing you're not alone in your struggles is crucial for personal transformation. This compassionate mindset creates safety that makes forging new habits easier, including applying reappraisal techniques. Approach expectation effects with an open mind, forgive failures, celebrate successes, and make your capacity for personal transformation your own self-fulfilling prophecy. As Shakespeare wrote through Hamlet, there is nothing either good or bad, but thinking makes it so.